One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours.
And hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's weekly Yap podcast, the Yes And podcast. I'm your host, Travis Thomas. This is episode 25, and I'm really excited about episode 25. I will be talking about the Educare on Learning Institute with its founder, Sandy Wilder. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to get into it really quickly, but just real briefly before we do that, just a quick recap of what's been going on in the world of Yes And the last week in the Live Yes And world. If you're not checking out my Periscopes each day, I do a daily Periscope. You can obviously find me via Twitter or Periscope at Live Yes and each morning I try to do just a few minutes, 10 to 15 minutes tops, a new insight, or some inspiration to kind of help you on your day. So check me out on Periscope. Also want to say hi to everyone at the YPO St. Louis event this past week. Had a wonderful, wonderful time speaking to over 400 business owners there in St. Louis and getting to share a little bit of what Yes And is all about, and got to share the stage with Mr. Wonderful, Kevin O'Leary, who is also speaking at that event, as well as my good buddy, Matt Meller from Wren Hollow Elementary, and got to spend actually a lot of time with Matt at Wren Hollow to see how he puts the concept of love to work, the principle of love to work in his school, how it starts from the leadership, how it seeps into how the teachers do what they do, and how it resonates and just the practical application it has with the kids, and just got to see it in all of its form this past week, and it was just wonderful spending that time there. And I got to interview Matt, and that is an upcoming podcast with Matt Miller talking about how he has done what he does at elementary schools and just the world of education. So really, really fun, really, really inspiring to me. Also want to say hello to the Principia High School baseball team that I got to give a short talk to while I was in town as well. Great group of guys, and good luck to them on this upcoming season. So let's get into it, right? Let's get into this week's podcast with Sandy Wilder. Sandy is the founder of the Educare on Learning Institute. I will include the links in the podcast. Sandy used to run an organization called Communico. The organization still exists, but he ran the organization called Communico for many years, and he gave that up and put it aside because he was following his heart, following his passion of starting the Educare on Learning Institute. And to be completely transparent, I met Sandy about 7 or 8 years ago when I was hosting in an event that Sandy was speaking at. It was highly recommended that I take one of Sandy's leadership courses. It was called Living with Mastery, and I took that course about 7 years ago, and it was completely transformational with my life, with how I live my personal life, as well as what I wanted to do. That really kind of propelled me into the direction of doing the coaching, and so I took the course with Sandy. I've taken a number of courses with Sandy over the years, and I've had the honor of being his assistant coach in probably 8 or 9 programs over those years for Educare. And so Sandy is a terrific friend of mine. He's been a wonderful mentor. And I really believe in the great programs and the great offerings of what he has to offer, one of which is a book that he published a few years ago called Listening to Grace. And Listening to Grace is a collection of some of his daily emails that go out called Unlearning Insights. And they're part prose, part deep, thoughtful ideas, and those go out every day. It's a part of how I either start my day or end my day, and his book, Listening to Grace, is a collection of those. And so since I was in St. Louis this past week, I had a one-on-one coaching session with Sandy, and I convinced him to take a little bit of time to do a podcast for the weekly Yap. So without further ado, let's do a little bit of unlearning with Sandy Wilder from Educare. Welcome, everyone. This is the weekly Yes And podcast, and I'm really excited to be here in Grafton, Illinois, which, for those of you who don't know Grafton, is right outside of St. Louis. And today's guest is a good friend of mine and mentor and the creator of the Educare Unlearning Institute. His name is Sandy Wilder. Sandy, how are we doing today?
Awesome. Thanks for having me join you.
Well, ever since I started doing the podcast, I was excited to finally get you in a room to talk about Educare, what the heck it is for people who don't know anything about it, why you started it. So let's start with the basic question, Sandy. What is the Educare Unlearning Institute?
Okay, thank you. Educare is Latin for the word educate, and it means to lead forth our hidden wholeness. So the premise of the Educare Unlearning Institute, which is kind of a life coaching training organization, helping people tap into their unlimited potential, the premise is that you've got the goods, that you are whole, you are complete, but you may not be in touch with that. And so the idea is that we provide programs, coaching, insights that I send out each day to help people really release the potential that is there. And the unlearning aspect is that we've had so much learning in our lives that has pretty much gotten in the way of us releasing our potential. And so this is helping us sort of, if you will, clean the windshield so that we can see. We have vision, we have the ability to see, but there's a lot of things that are blocking that and blurring that. And so we need to recognize what those are and then release them. And that's what I call unlearning. It's basically recognizing and releasing the things that are getting in the way of your innate divine potential.
And at what point did you know that you wanted, at what point did you know that you wanted to kind of transition into this kind of work? Because you were running an organization called Communico. And so at what point did you know that you wanted to kind of head into this kind of work?
I really knew it the whole time. But Communico did leadership, still does leadership development and customer relations in the corporate world mostly. And so I was doing that and having success there, doing executive coaching and working with leadership teams. But I had a desire to take people deeper, and that occasionally happened in a coaching setting, but not as necessarily as much as I would like to. So I really started cultivating it in the late 90s. And it became clear to me in April 2001, that I remember just listening quietly, and I got this message that says, you're going to be leaving Communico. And so I obediently did that in August of 2009, 8 years later.
So you're a slow learner.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was a transition, let's say. But what I started doing at that point was I started really thinking deeply about what the organization could be, what would be the purpose of the organization, what would be, in a sense, its vision, and what would it mean to transition into doing that full time. Because I wasn't going to offer it in a corporate setting, I was going to offer it in a public setting, open to anybody. So it's very different than when you're marketing and selling in a corporate arena than it is when it's open to the public.
And so for anyone who is thinking about one of your courses or a weekend retreat, what would you say is sort of the end goal or the expectation that someone would have in wanting to take one of these courses?
In each of the programs that we do, whether it's an hour and a half, we call it a fireside chat once a month on the phone, or a week-long retreat in Acadia National Park in Maine, Vision Quest, or programs here in St. Louis or around the country, they're all based on what we call a circle of trust, which we've gotten from Parker Palmer, incredible Quaker educator. And the circle of trust is based on the idea that we create an environment and we commit to an environment with each other that we're going to listen and have activities that really draw out the best in people without anybody sort of advising them or teaching them or trying to fix them. So we're creating an environment through all the activities that we do where people get in touch with what we call their inner teacher, their soul, the still small voice, whatever you want to call it. And the idea is that we get to make those discoveries in a safe environment. So there are lots of different ways that we do that, provide activities to do that. But we're basically sharing ideas and putting them in the center of the room. And anybody who wants to can pick up those ideas and work with them and use them. And you may have an idea that you feel is left. And then an hour later, actually, I think I want to share something from the right or whatever. I mean, it's just, it's wide open. And it's just a space where we can really share authentically, and nobody's forced to share anything. And so people come because they're interested in really getting in touch with what I call their authentic self, which is their ego-free heart, their ego-free mind. And so that's what we do, is we bring people together in those kinds of spaces, and they're always small groups, not more than about a dozen people.
Okay. And now you mentioned Parker Palmer early on. Are there some specific teachers, influences? There's so many resources in your courses, in the programs. How do you find your resources? And is there a specific type of, thought or idea or inspiration that you're looking for?
Thanks for that question. Boy, I could really think a long time on that. I would say the resources that we've tapped into all come from a non-dual basis. So the idea that ultimately good is supreme, and that there is this one infinite being, if you will, which would be the divine, and that we're all, in a sense, connected to that, part of that, if you will. And so Parker Palmer from the Quaker tradition is huge. Mary Baker Eddy from the Christian Science tradition. Ajahn Chanti, who really is cross-denominational. A number of authors like that. Yogananda. I'm really not trying to pin what I do to any specific religion, but what I'm trying to do is find what resonates for anyone so that there's in a sense, a common ground. So I'm not teaching from religion or teaching into a specific religion. I'm basically saying, let's just honor what is real and true for you. And here's a number of resources that may be able to support you in that space. So there's lots of books that we could read. And so I'm continually bringing in lots of different kinds of resources.
And in your own, in your own individual kind of personal and spiritual journey, has there been one or two key moments that you look back on as sort of kind of transformational moments for you?
Yeah, one or two is...
Six or seven.
Yeah, really?
12.
Okay.
Is there one or two that stand out?
Sure. I can give you I'll give you a fairly recent one. There was a time when, after being married for about 20 years, my wife and I were struggling, and we were separated for 6 or 7 months. And I was at a retreat with Ajahn Chanti, who is a teacher in California, cross-denominational teacher, comes out of a Buddhist and a Christian background. And he asked a very simple question, which I'd thought of before, but it just really hit me in a different way. This was actually part of a 5-day silent retreat. So the participants were in silence for the 5 days. But he would do some talks and occasionally ask some questions. And he asked a very simple question, and he simply said, "What do you want in life? What do you really want in life?" And I'd thought about that before, but it was just very obvious to me instantly that the one thing that I wanted in life was to learn to love without judgment. And if I ever did that... If I ever was successful in actually loving without judgment, and I've tasted it, but if I was able to do that, then I would feel fulfilled. I would feel at peace, and I would feel like, who knows, I might be able to make a difference in people's lives. And it just became very clear to me that that is the bottom line. And then a little bit later, one of the things that came up in what he said was, once you're clear on what really matters to you, then you need to be willing to run at the darkness or any places where that's difficult to do. And I said, did you have to say that? And then I realized that, okay, yes, I'm separated in my marriage right now, but the area that was hardest for me was to actually run into that space and to go back into that. Not necessarily I'm going to stay married, but that I'm going to learn to love without judgment in that relationship. Because I had a number of stories over 20 years that were getting in the way of me really loving. So that's what I committed to. I committed to running at whatever the darkness was, and that was my number one darkness. And so I didn't instantly want to stay married, but I definitely, more than anything in my life, wanted to authentically learn how to love. So that's what I committed to. And as I went back into the relationship, my wife had been doing a lot of work on her own as well, and come to a somewhat of a similar idea. And so as we really started working at that, it's like, who doesn't like to be loved without judgment? I appreciated it when she was loving me without judgment, and she appreciated it when I was loving her without judgment. And we've been together a good 6 years or now since, and it's never been better. But that's really been a turning point, because it's not like once we made that decision, oh, it's happily ever after. It's now the marriage is really a classroom for that vehicle, just to really learn to love in that space. And we're continuing to do it, but we're really open to feedback from each other. So that was one example of a huge space.
And how does that show up sort of practically on a day-to-day basis that's different in your relationship now than it was before?
Yeah, for me, it's not that stuff still doesn't come up. It's just that I'm willing to sit with it. I'm not running away. I became pretty good at running away. Well, let me just say judging first and then running away. And now I notice if some pain comes up in me, there's a lot less blame. But if there is blame, I instantly catch it and go, okay, blame means I get to learn something about loving. Because blame is just an egoic function that, to me, is not really where I want to be. So it's just a signal that there's an agenda here in the classroom that I want to learn. And so some of those agendas are easier than others, but the focus is to open to that versus run from that. And so that means maybe listening, or it means maybe asking a question, or it means, it just depends on what the stimulus is. But it definitely means that I'm going to learn a lesson, and I'm going to be very open and willing to do that. And as best I can, try to communicate with that lesson in mind, without that judgment in mind. So that's one example, is really embracing some of the pain and discomfort that comes up.
And now the last few years, you've spent a lot of time different meditative retreats, whether it's Adi Shanti, Byron Katie mm-hmm. retreats. What is it for you when you're spending that amount of time in meditation, when it's, you know, multiple days, and especially silent retreats where you're just kind of alone with your thoughts during all that time? What's that experience look like and feel like for you that is that's so powerful?
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, I've been doing the silent retreats for about the last 5 years, and they're usually 5 to 7 days. And I try and do one a year. And I really shut off from the internet. I shut off from any outside contact, and it is in silence. And so I'm still writing, but during obviously the silent sitting and the meditation, I'm just really being quiet and listening. It just really feels like a cleansing. It really feels like as things come up, I can really address them. I can really go into them, and I'm not worried about preparing the next meal. I'm not worried about what's anybody going to be thinking about me, because there's a couple hundred people there in a similar space. I've even been to one of these with my wife where it was a 6-day silent retreat, and we stayed in the same hotel room and we didn't speak to each other the entire time. And at first that was a little unusual, but then it became absolutely refreshing because you really got to be alone with your own thinking. And so I just found that in that kind of a setting, I can go much deeper than even an hour or two just on my own. And in these retreats, you're having probably 6 40-minute periods of silent sitting. You're having incredible alone time in nature. You listen to the individual speak. And then there's a Q&A portion if some people want to ask questions. So you are getting some new ideas, but mostly I'm just really going back to, what do I really want? How am I living consistently with that? What do I need to let go of? What do I need that, what's getting in the way of me really living from the divine will? And I think just really having that time without any interruptions, I just find it extremely rejuvenating. And often these are Adyashanti's retreats that I've been going to. He is, in a sense, awake or enlightened and is so clear, so authentic, and so just pure love that you also have that example right in front of you. And it's just, it just reaches you and resonates at a very deep level.
For someone listening to this, Sandy, who might really kind of connect with what you're saying or have a desire to feel that level of connection, but maybe meditation is something that's still new, or they haven't been able to had a chance to experience yet, or just finding that time on a day-to-day basis is a challenge. What are some things that you would recommend for someone who's just maybe starting out? Do you have any type of daily commitments or things that you do that someone could listen to and go, you know what, maybe I could try that as well?
Yeah, the spiritual practice sort of daily commitment idea and deepening that, I think really needs to be tailored to the individual and to what their desires are and what really resonates with them. I can share a few of mine, but a lot of times with people I coach, that's a question we go into. And once I find out what they really are trying to accomplish and what is challenging for them and what their experience is, then I can recommend some different things. But one example that is particularly meaningful for me is something that I call taking dictation. And so what that means for me is, and I will do this on a regular basis, I take a blank sheet of paper or an empty computer screen, and just get really quiet and just open my thought to what I call gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S, which is the direct revelation of the divine. So I'm just really opening my heart and my mind to that. And then I just ask the question to the divine, what do I need to see right now? And then I just really listen, but I listen and take notes in the second person. So if I hear, I need you to see, I is the divine, and you is speaking, the divine speaking to me. And then I just literally write down whatever I hear. I do not judge it. Sometimes it's a dialogue back and forth. Sometimes it's just straight out notes. Sometimes I will have a little bit more of a focus, like one time in Communico, the organization I was working with, we were going through a difficult, challenging time, and I just was on my knees, and I just said, what do I need to see right now? I'm just completely open. I just want to be part of a blessing here, and what do I need to see? And I was quiet, and the thought came, you need to hear this about your son. And I thought, wait, I was thinking we were talking about the company, and the message is coming from my son. And it turns out he was going through a bit of a struggle at that point that I was completely unaware of. But basically, what I felt like was God was saying, this is what you need to focus on now. We'll get to that other thing later. So that's just an example of dictation. And if I'm struggling at all, that's a daily practice. I mean, it's a practice if I want new inspiration, but it's also a practice if there's a difficult challenge. I will really go in, because to me, a communicative relationship with the divine is what it's all about. It's not about just reading about the divine. It's not about just hearing about it from others. It's really feeling that tangible presence of grace. And in the heart, really feeling it in the heart. And so I open to that every day, whether it's a difficult time or just looking for new inspiration.
And tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind the Daily Insight. For those of you listening, the Daily Insight, Sandy sends out as a newsletter, comes in newsletter form every day from his website. And Sandy, how did you start writing the Daily Insight, and what's that process for you doing it?
Yes, it's now called an Unlearning Insight. It used to be called the Daily Insight, but it's now an Unlearning Insight. And it started about 6 years ago, where I just started sharing some ideas on Facebook that I thought might be helpful. It's important for me to find fresh languaging for whatever concepts that I'm sharing, so that it's not just the same old in terms of how you've always heard these ideas. So I really listen for that sense of freshness. And after sharing a few of these brief ideas on Facebook every day for about a year or so, one of my buddies said, why don't you try sending these out as an email as well? And so then I thought, yeah, we can do that. And so now I have somebody who actually helps me format them. So I take basically an hour to 2 hours every day to sit quietly in dictation and just open to the divine. And I have no idea what's going to come out that day. And then the next day, that is sent out to however many people that have signed up for the email, 600, 700, whatever. Plus, it's on Facebook. And I have a colleague, a good friend, Pierre Pradovan in Switzerland, and he translates them into French and puts them out on some of his websites. And so it's starting to get the following there. But basically, what I'm listening for is just a crisp message that usually comes out as a brief poem or just a little bit of prose, and I just offer it up, and it's just usually has one core idea, and I'm just really listening into that space, and it has to be new and clear for me that day or it doesn't go out. So that may sound like a lot of work, but I absolutely can't wait to do that every day. I just love to move into that space because something always comes.
And on average, how long is that process each day?
As I mentioned, it's an hour to 2 hours. I'd say the shortest might be a half hour if something is just pops and it's super clear and I just get the message, yes, we're going with this. And then it's also, it's sometimes takes a couple hours. Yeah, there's no question. Yeah.
And a few years ago, you put a collection of your Unlearning Insights into a book that's called Listening to Grace, Unlearning Insights and Poems. Is that book available where fine books are sold there, Santa?
Yes, right downstairs in my closet. I sell fine books here. It's available on the website. It's available at listeningtograce.com, but it's also on educareunlearning.com is our website. It's available there. And you can also get it on amazon.com as well. And there's 359 different selections that I chose from a couple of years. And so what I went through is I went through 2 years' worth of insights and just started listening for which ones were really resonating in the moment and what sort of themes came out. And so there's 13 different chapters and themes around authenticity or dealing with challenging times or listening into stillness or non-judgmental relationships. So there are certain themes came out. And so I just put the appropriate insight with each one of those themes. And so that's how the book took shape.
And I'll make sure I include links in the podcast so that people can easily find the website, easily find a link to the book, as well as how to sign up for the Unlearning Insight if they want to be added to the list.
Thanks.
Well, lastly, Sandy, actually, we have to wrap this up here pretty quickly because Sandy actually has a course that he needs to teach via conference call tonight. So time is sensitive. But the last thing I wanted to ask you, and it's in the spirit of obviously what Live Yes And is all about and how we are constantly sort of dealing with adversity and responding in the present moment and responding with purpose. And when you think about, you know, when I talk about purpose, it really was the foundation for that came from the Living with Mastery program, which is an Educare program. When you think about what the expression of your purpose looks like right now, how would you articulate it?
Yeah, it's part of it is learning to love without judgment. But as I think about it, even at a deeper level or a level that I sit with in stillness, the way that I really live with it is thinking that I am this moment seeing and being the consciousness of love by surrendering to grace, listening to grace, and receiving grace as it releases egoing, dissolves limited self-concepts, and reveals reality as one infinite I am. So that may sound like a long sort of floaty purpose, but I work with each of those parts individually to really be present and to really to ground myself. So every day, as part of my meditation, I will start with just pondering some aspect of that purpose, and then really just really listen for how I can continue to deepen it. And so it's all about being present here and now in the space of love and releasing whatever it is that gets in the way of that, and doing that through surrendering to grace. And grace to me is simply just the way divinity embraces our heart. And so I really want to just live from that space. So, and really rely on it, completely trust on it, trust in it, and rely on it.
Beautiful. Well, thanks, man. I know for those of you out there listening, the daily Unlearning Insight is a part of my daily routine. I usually get in the evening. It's usually probably the idea that I go to bed to pondering as I go to bed. But if I missed it, it's sitting there waiting for me in the morning, and it's the idea that I ponder and think about as I start my day. And so I highly recommend to everyone out there listening to sign up for the daily Unlearning Insights, and make sure you check out Sandy's website to see all the different program offerings that are truly, truly life transforming. And so I couldn't give it a higher endorsement. So brother, you've got to get off and work. You got to work. You got a job to do. But thanks so much for taking the time and doing this podcast.
Thank you, Travis. It's been a total pleasure.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful Yes And Day.